And welcome back. This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. So something interesting happens when you've been working in a chosen field for a while. One day you look around and realize, wow, there are a lot of really young people working here. So it's especially true with professionals of my generation. So I was born in 19... Let's just say the tail end of the baby boomer generation. And here I am working alongside Meghna, certainly a seasoned professional in her own right, but...
A little bit younger. It is true, shocking but true. I'm a proud, or rather should I say a jaded, ironic, Alanis Morissette listening, card-carrying member of Generation X. But Anthony, you know, we have something in common here because both of us are continuously struck by the fact that suddenly there are a whole bunch of really younger folks working alongside us, younger than you and younger than me, those 20-something millennials born sometime after 1978.
That's right, really young. And this set of professional relationships that reaches across the generations, it can be a great thing. It can also be fraught with misunderstanding, maybe even conflict.
For example, think of the way many baby boomers and Gen Xers frequently label millennials: entitled, coddled by overbearing parents.
They don't work hard.
They're not loyal to their employers.
Now, like all stereotypes, these are obviously unfair. And yet the fact that they're part of our consciousness suggests we've got a bit of a problem here. So our next guest has written about the conflict and about how to bridge this gap between baby boomers and millennials in the workplace. Millennials will make up 3/4 of the workforce by 2025, she writes. Lauren Stiller-Riclean is executive in residence at the Boston College's Center for Work and Family and the Carroll School of Management. She's also president of the Riclean Institute for Strategic Leadership. Her new book is called You Raised Us, Now Work With Us: Millennials, Career Success, and Building Strong Workplace Teams. And Lauren Stiller-Riclean, welcome back to Radio Boston. It's good to have you.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Yeah, this is a really interesting subject, and it's an interesting subject for so many reasons, not just for sort of the health of the workplace, but just because of the way society is evolving. But I want to invite listeners into this conversation before I sort of put my first question to you. So listeners, millennials, boomers, Generation Xers, we want to hear from you. What are the intergenerational dynamics like in your office? Are you a millennial irritated with the tech help you're asked to provide your Gen X or your baby boom supervisors all the time? Or are you a boomer appalled by the behavior of younger employees? Is there a happy coexistence where you work? Give us a call at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. We're also on Facebook and Twitter at Radio Boston. So, Lauren, I want to start off by just asking you, you know, you interviewed like 1,000 millennials, right? And what led you to this project?
Well, a lot of things, but one in particular came out of speaking and training that I do on the topic of women's leadership and advancement. And I had been doing a series of these conversations and speeches. And there was a pattern that developed a number of years ago in which at the end of, you know, every Q&A session, somebody would bring up young people. And it was always negative and it was always stereotyped. And I couldn't quite fathom it. I had 2 millennial kids. I'm around the generation a lot. And it dawned on me at one point, and I, with one large audience, and I asked people in the audience to please raise their hand if they have kids who are millennials, and most did. And I said, so wait, let me just see if I get this straight. You raise your kids to be empowered, to seek their dreams, to go out there in the world, ask questions, you know, really go after what it is you want. And you sent them out into the world. Mm-hmm. And now other people's kids similarly raised are coming into your workplace and they're driving you crazy. Mm. And why is that? Why are we missing this connection?
So you're being driven crazy by the very values that your generation has, with which your generation has raised these young people.
Right. We're missing the connection between how we raise them and what that means in terms of the behaviors that they manifest in the workplace.
Interesting. Yeah. So I want to start off by asking you what exactly baby boomers think of millennials they work with. Meghna and I sort of went through a short list of these biggest complaints, but what did you hear?
Well, definitely the entitled. one. Yeah. They're too entitled. They're not loyal. They don't want to work hard. They just want to go home and have their personal life and their family life. They just want positive feedback. They're too plugged in. Those are the major ones.
Right. And so let's go through those. This sense of entitlement. You make the point that this sense of entitlement might also be a sense of self-confidence that might be sort of the flip side of that or the positive side of that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think that what we are seeing is a generation that was raised specifically to be self-confident mm-hmm. in ways that no other generation has been. You know, our parents had, boomers' parents had Dr. Spock. I, as a parent, had a world of experts telling me how I need to raise confident kids. One of the things, however, we didn't pay as much attention to, perhaps, as we should have, is how to raise confident kids who also understand how to be modest and humble with their self-confidence, mm-hmm. recognizing that sometimes people are put off by self-confidence.
Right. So confidence generally in life is a good thing, but when you just arrive in the workplace, displaying a little too much of that confidence may be problematic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But is this a problem that the millennials need to understand, or is it an issue that the baby boomers need to understand, that their sort of sense of expectations, they need to think about redesigning them?
It's all three generations in the workplace today. Mm. When I wrote You Raised Us, Now Work With Us, I was focused on a book that would be for each generation because mm-hmm. unless each generation sees and understands and has the same conversation about these issues, we can't bridge the differences. But if we all can understand the lens in which each of the generations are seen, I think we're able to make a lot of progress.
I want to ask you, too, about this idea that millennials just they require too much praise from coworkers, from bosses, too much feedback, which also plays into this idea that for some reason, baby boomers, Gen Xers, not so good at giving feedback.
Exactly. So we have this idea that young people only want to be praised, mm-hmm. when in reality, what we're missing is that for the most part, baby boomers in particular, hate giving feedback. You talk to young people in most any workplace and they'll tell you they're starving for feedback on how they're doing in after an assignment or after a project. So it really isn't about only wanting positive feedback. It's about wanting to learn and grow on the job. And you learn and grow on the job by being told what you did well and not well after you've done something in the workplace.
Yeah. So what's your recommendation there? Again, is it a question of getting the millennials to sort of tone down their expectation in terms of how much feedback they get? Or is it sort of folks like me who have got to learn how to give feedback more effectively?
I think the latter much more significantly. People, if you're thinking about retention in the workplace, if you're thinking about your own legacy once you move on, you have to be thinking about how do we raise the next generation of leaders? And you do mm-hmm. that by learning how to effectively give feedback. It is a learned skill, and it's an important one. Millennials, at the same time, have to learn how to hear the feedback, mm-hmm. how to take the constructive criticism, and be able to put it to productive use.
Now, what did you find out? We've been talking a lot about how baby boomers view millennials. What about the way millennials view baby boomers and Gen Xers in the workplace?
So that was the fascinating thing to me. Every time a Gen Xer or baby boomer has a negative interaction with a millennial, we blame the entire generation for whatever happened. Mm. When a millennial does not view this life through the same generational lens. In fact, millennials, by and large, grew up liking the adults in their lives. They are used to positive interactions. They are used to adults caring about them and, you know, teachers and parents and coaches looking after them and helping them with issues. So they get into the workplace and there's this whole group of adults now maybe just waiting to help them there as well. But so they certainly come in, I think, with higher expectations about what those relationships will be like, but they do not have that same generational lens that we do.
It's interesting. You know, we played this cut in the very start of the show. This was a cut from the wonderful TV show Girl, starring Lena Dunham, and she's saying to her baby boom employer, you know, seriously, I want every day to be exciting, a roller coaster of creative experience, and if I'm making a new life for myself in France, this isn't the view of the professional world that I want to live in. And her boss says, maybe this just isn't the place for you. Mm-hmm. You know, and you sort of get, it's a wonderful moment, and it seems to illustrate so well what you're talking about, because where did the Lena Dunham character, Hannah, learn that? if not from her baby boomer parents, that sort of, you know, wonderful kind of view of what work and the workplace should offer her.
That's right. Yeah. That's absolutely right.
Listeners, we're talking with Lauren Stiller Ricklean. She's the author of You Raised Us, Now Work With Us, Millennials, Career Success, and Building Strong Workplace Team. We want to hear from you. What are the intergenerational dynamics like in your office? Are you a millennial? Are you irritated by your baby boomer supervisors? Are you a boomer appalled by your younger employees? Give us a call at 800-423-8255. Lauren, we've got a bunch of calls, so let's go to them now. Amy is calling from Barnstable on Cape Cod. Amy, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Very well. What's on your mind?
In Cape Cod, I work for a government agency, and I am 44, and I work with a lot of 20-somethings that are recent graduates of different programs. One in particular is the Mass Maritime Academy. What occurred to me that was interesting was the emails that I got from one graduating senior that were loaded with typos. The inability to type or write professionally, the inability to speak professionally when I met this young man. So I don't just get frustrated and write him off and say, no, there's no opportunity for you to work with us. What I did was I wrote him a very nice, polite email and said, please reconsider your email, the formatting, the grammar. In a professional setting, you're selling yourself if you want an opportunity. You have to present yourself. So although it's frustrating to see the very big differences between the way they speak and type and express themselves, I try to give them a little bit of guidance. And I said, if you want to try your email again and give me another proposition again for an opportunity, then we'll go from there. I never heard from him.
Interesting, Amy. Amy, thanks for putting that idea on the table. Lauren, it sounds like Amy was trying to give feedback there, but what did you hear in that anecdote?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, kudos for not immediately writing him off. I guess one question I would have is, why did she not have the conversation with him? Because one of the difficulties we have with written communications is tone. We don't understand tone. And she may have inadvertently conveyed a tone that just scared him off. So it may not have been that he doesn't want to write nicely. It just may have been that, uh-oh, I really blew it. And that could be his reaction. With respect to the underlying problem, I hear this all the time, and it's why I think we have to think differently about training for younger people today. Things that inherently make sense to us, like why on earth would you need to be trained on writing a grammatically correct email? Well, because this is a generation that grew up texting in shorthand. Mm-hmm. And there wasn't as much focus on written communications in a formal style. So we need to think about that and start training from day one about what are the communication expectations in this workplace and how do we put in place a kind of training and assistance that'll make it happen correctly.
Let's go to Nick, who's calling from Winchester. Nick, you're on the air.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Very well. What's on your mind, Nick?
Well, first I'll agree with the point just made about the education system being woefully, under-preparing students for the workplace. But I do also want to take a couple of issues. I'm 28. There are three people in my office under 30 and a lot of people who are older than that, I'll say. And they're the ones who go home at 5 o'clock. So I don't know what you mean when you say that, we don't work hard, we're not loyal to our employers. The turnover in the over 50 set is a lot higher than it is in the under 30. So it's not about, dedication or anything like that.
Yeah, Nick, I want to just clarify something that at least that came out of my mouth. I mean, when I was saying those things, that wasn't necessarily telling you what I believe. We were talking about, fair or unfair stereotypes with which your generation is sometimes branded. And we made the point that it's probably unfair. And Lauren Stiller Ricklean certainly believes that.
When you mentioned, points of view from getting points of view from the 20-somethings, really tells me what slant this conversation has. And furthermore, I do actually, that 20-somethings don't view this as a generational issue. Well, I actually do. I find baby boomers to be, really difficult to deal with in pretty much every setting, not just the workplace. And it's partly for all this stereotyping. I would love to deal with you guys on an individual level, but the way you've constructed this entire debate is really reductive. and I'll take the rest of your comments off the air.
All right, Nick. Well, we really appreciate your feedback. He talked about a debate. I think we're having a conversation, Lauren. But, I mean, you know, I think in Nick's comment, you could hear there some real cross-generational tension.
Sure. I mean, it's obvious from his comments that he is exposed to those negative stereotypes all the time. And part of what I'm trying to say is those stereotypes are indeed unfair, mm-hmm. and that there needs to be a lot more conversation and cross-generational understanding in the workplace. But it is really problematic and troubling for millennials to be in a workplace in which all they do is hear the negativity. And of course, at that point, they'll pick it up. And in return, they will pick up that generational lens themselves in reverse. But it's unfortunate that happens.
A little detail and something that you write about in a really interesting way, and that is the role of technology in all this. And I'd love you to talk a little bit about that, because one of the things you talk about, one of the dynamics that shows up in workplaces is that the younger workers, the millennials, are frequently in a position to sort of solve the kind of technological wizardry that goes on in the modern office. And people of my generation are going to frequently call the 20-somethings over here and say, hey, you know, what the heck's going on in my computer, deal with it, right?
Yeah, I mean, that was a pretty funny thing that I picked up in the survey that I did for You Raised Us, Now Work With Us, which is this notion of a lot of the survey respondents said, you know, I spend a lot of my day at the beck and call of senior generations who trying to help them solve their technology problems.
Right.
And I don't necessarily even mind doing it, but I do mind that I get no credit for it or recognition or appreciation for it. So if I'm going to be tech support, at least please acknowledge that role in some way.
Interesting. SJ is calling from Foxborough. Hi, SJ. You're on the air.
Hi.
Yeah, tell us what's on your mind, what you're hearing in this conversation.
Well, a lot of interesting opinions, but the first thing that comes to mind is the whole tendency of people to kind of group millennials together. I'm a millennial, and I can say, speaking for myself and plenty of my peers, that we're not all unprofessional. A lot of us work very, very hard to find jobs in tough economic times, and we are equally frustrated with other individuals who are considered millennials, who don't take the time to be professional, but that doesn't speak to all of us. And in terms of baby boomers, I think we look at them on a very individual basis. Not all of them judge us. A lot of them are very helpful. So I think we don't tend to look at people as a group, and we try to look at it on an individual level, but I feel a little judged that millennials as a whole are considered just this, you know, ungrateful group of kids who aren't working because I disagree.
All right, SJ, we hear you loud and clear. Lauren, one of the points you make, I mean, respond to SJ in any way you want, but one of the points you make in their book is this term millennial that a lot of millennials aren't comfortable with.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's funny because I do a lot of work with millennials in a variety of different contexts, and I tormented everyone I know to help me come up with a name for the book while I was writing it. And one millennial said to me, you ought to call it Don't Call Us Millennials, because it is such a negative term. And every time I hear somebody use it, I know they're then going to say something bad about my generation. She's fair to point out that word itself comes with its own negative branding, and very unfairly so.
I was really intrigued by this because it seems like, in a way, we've spent a lot of this conversation talking about the tension in this relationship. You write in the book that, unlike other generations, millennials grew up actually liking a lot of the adults, most of the adults in their lives, right? Their parents, their older family members, their teachers. Do you find that must help with this intergenerational dynamic in the workplace?
Exactly. I mean, that's why I say that I think this is such a fixable challenge, because it's really, in many respects, the problem for the boomers and Gen Xers to fix. We're the ones that kind of bring this lens, and we have the power to put in place the training and the communications and the systems that would be needed to help bridge these gaps. So I think that there is a lot that can be done with respect to moving this conversation forward in a far more positive way.
Let's see if we have time for at least one more call. Ashley is calling from Newton. Hi, Ashley. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Very well. What's on your mind?
I'm also millennial. I'm 28 years old, and I'm in a very as you would say, very high position in my company. And quite often I hear this question of, A, how old are you? B, how long did it take you to get here? And that we may be moving fast. And I find it very hard because that's not a question that, A, we've been taught to ask. And it's a protected group as well, too, of, you know, 40 and over, older. And we have protected groups where I don't feel like we're protected in this realm. And it's okay to question younger leadership and their abilities. And I think that it's very hard for millennials to really showcase themselves and not be put into this category.
Interesting, Ashley. Lauren, what do you think?
So Ashley raises a really good point. I think that for particularly baby boomers, there's almost this maternalism / paternalism that comes into play where someone has achieved a lot in the workplace who is very young in the sense of, wow, how old is this person? Oh, it could be my kid. And it goes from the professional to the personal mentally. And what we need to do is check ourselves when that happens because it is unfair and it does feel and can be demeaning to a younger employee to see them in terms of being your child instead of a fellow professional. Mm. So she's absolutely right about that dynamic that does exist. And she's right, it's probably illegal to be asking in the first place. But I do think it's important to understand it comes from a place of, you know, almost that paternal, maternal affection as opposed to, you know, what the heck, how old are you?
Sure. As we mentioned in the introduction, millennials making up more and more of the workforce. You write that by 2025, there'll be 3/4 of the workforce. How different do you think the workplace will be by then? What's it going to look like?
Well, part of another reason why I wrote this book is that my hope is that millennials will be change agents in the workplace. That the fact that men and women care about work-life integration in a very significant way means that they will make inroads in changing the culture of the workplace around family-friendly policies in a way that women who have been advocating for this for decades have not succeeded in accomplishing. Mm. So and the other thing about millennials as leaders that you see all the time is they will be much more transparent. They value transparency. They want to know what the rules are. They want to be able to explain the rules clearly. They believe in accountable leadership, the importance of having passion around your work. So I do think they have the capacity to help lead us to a very different workplace culture. And it is my hope that they will, in fact, get us there.
All right. Well, that's a great hope and a great note of hopefulness with which to end this conversation. Lauren Stiller-Rickline is executive in residence at the Boston College Center for Work and Family in the Carroll School of Management. She's also president of the Rickline Institute for Strategic Leadership. Her new book is You Raised Us, Now Work With Us, Millennials, Career Success, and Building Strong Workplace Teams. Lauren, thanks so much for coming in.
Oh, thank you. I enjoyed it.
And listeners, thank you so much for your comments. Please go to either Facebook at Radio Boston or at radioboston.org and post more comments if you want to continue this conversation. And stay with us. Coming up, we'll get a taste of what's making news in the world of sports with Only a Game's Bill Littlefield. I'm Anthony Brooks with Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.